I want to tell you about a baseball player by the name of Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano. He played for the New York Yankees, and then money got his attention. The Seattle Mariners offered him millions of dollars, a huge 10-year contract to play second base out in Seattle. Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show offered an opportunity because Seattle Mariners were coming back to New York to play baseball, playing the Yankees. And Jimmy Fallon gave an opportunity for New York fans to tell Cano what they thought of him in a big picture that had been set up on a sidewalk. And here's one of the New York Yankee fans telling Cano what he thought about him, at least a portrait of him. But little did these folks know, Jimmy Fallon had set it up where, you can tell this is kind of a box that on the front of whose picture, Robinson Cano's picture's on the front. Robinson was inside. And while they're turning back and talking to the one that was setting this all up, Robinson Cano comes outside. And it's amazing if you watch the video of it to see the expressions on their faces and how their frowns and their frustrations turn to smiles of embarrassment and apologies made. In fact, every time the person would be so embarrassed and smiled and apologized profusely, saying, "Oh, I was only joking," and was really honored to meet him. But as I heard about that and saw these things, I thought about how in today's world, so many hurtful things are said in much the same or similar ways. Thinking, well, they can't respond to me, or they may not even know who said it. But there are some venues in the world today in which criticisms can be fired away and some ugly remarks made without any accountability attached to them. And one of those ways is through modern technology and social media. People can say virtually anything they want to about someone else. It's immediate, it's permanent, and it can be totally anonymous. Some set up fake names or dummy accounts and tweet things, hurtful sayings about other people. And unfortunately, to many, telling the truth isn't the issue. Making others look bad or taking cheap shots and creating controversy, that's what it's all about. And so you have people proverbially saying what they want to say, even though it's hurtful, but not being held accountable for it. So one of the technical difficulties, I think, in our world today is really boils down to this age-old problem of gossip. Listen to this definition of gossip. Gossip is the vocalization of potentially destructive things about another. Notice this, whether true or false. I'm going to come back to that. Whether true or false, when that other person is either specifically identified or readily identifiable, and when that other person is not present and able to respond. I like what Rick Warren said. When we are talking about a situation with somebody who is neither part of the problem or part of the solution, then we're probably gossiping. And I'm afraid one of the technical difficulties of our age is just other opportunities and formats in which to engage in this age-old sin of gossip. Before you speak, before we speak, before we tweet our opinion or share a link or post a comment, we need to be asking ourselves, am I helping or am I simply gossiping? Am I helping or am I just spreading slander? It's crystal clear in the scriptures how God feels about gossip. Here's one passage. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable or that are an abomination to him. And we have a list of things, a proud look, a lying tongue. But at the very end of that list of seven abominations are these: a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. And if you look at those phrases, doesn't gossip fit that all too well? And how does God feel about it? He hates it. It's detestable to him. It's an abomination. But there's something about sickeningly attractive about the sin of gossip. It intrigues us, draws us, lures us. I'm reminded of Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. But God hates it. So it should be far from our practice. So I want to be very practical this morning and propose three sets of questions that we need to ask ourselves before we speak, before we post, before we tweet messages about others, to keep ourselves gossip-free, whether online or offline, whether in the technological world of the media, or whether it's speaking face-to-face with another person. Here's the first set of questions. Ask yourself, is what I'm about to say helpful or hurtful? Will this build others up or tear them down? And what's my intention behind what I'm about to type or what I'm about to say? Is it helpful or hurtful? Kevin read for us Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. The NIV expounds upon it, says, don't let any unwholesome talk come from out of your mouths, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's a good filter, isn't it? Before we say something or post something, run it through the filter of Ephesians 4:29. Is it helpful or hurtful? Will it build others up or tear them down? And what is my motive for sharing it? If it's unwholesome, don't type it, don't tweet it, don't post it, don't even say it. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer or a gossip separates the closest or the best of friends. Gossip, slander, hurts, it destroys relationships. We should stay away from that. I love this acrostic. Before you speak, think. Before you type, think. Before you tweet, think. T-H-I-N-K. Is it true? Number one. Is it true? But I want to pose a question to you this morning. Is it ever wrong to tell the truth? Is it ever wrong to tell the truth? Most, first time they hear that question, the most ready response is, well, no, you always got to tell the truth. And that's a true statement. But is it ever wrong to tell the truth? And I believe there is a wrong time to tell the truth. And that wrong time is when something is, though it's true, it's said to badger, to slander, or to unnecessarily harm another person, then folks, it's wrong to share that truth. I like this statement by Craig Groeschel. Everything you say should be true, but not everything that's true should be said. So is it true? But that's not all. Secondly, is it helpful? Is it helpful? Will it build others up or tear them down? Is this information helpful or is it hurtful? Number three, is it inspiring? Is it inspiring? I thought about putting, is it interesting? But no, that would appeal to the gossip, wouldn't it? Oh, these are choice morsels that I can't wait to share. That's the wrong question, isn't it? It should be, is it inspiring? In other words, will it help other people be better? Will it help them live better lives if I share this information? Is it necessary? Number four, is it necessary? Is it important that I share this information, or would it be better for me to keep it to myself? And K, is it kind? Is it kind? Before you speak, post, tweet, comment, think. A second set of questions to ask: am I making private matters public? Am I about to share something that would be better handled privately? And I think this is a very important set of questions. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer or a gossip reveals secrets, or NIV, betrays a confidence. But he who is a faithful spirit, a trustworthy person, conceals a matter or keeps it secret. When something is told to you in confidence, friend to friend, friend may be telling you something they're struggling with in order for you to pray for them. Can you keep a confidence? Can you keep private matters private? Or are we making private matters public? If you're sharing what should be secret, you're gossiping. Let me give you a terrible example. Read about a preacher who did not give the names of the couple that he and his wife were trying to help. But this couple was having severe marital problems. The husband confessed to committing adultery. And as painful as that was, his wife wanted to keep that marriage intact. And she was asking God for the help and the strength to forgive him for what he had done. And the husband was truly penitent, and he was improving in several other ways that demonstrated his love for his wife. And things were going very well for this couple. And this couple, amongst a group of church friends, shared what they were going through, and asking their friends within this church group to pray for them and to help them as they were trying to work things out between them. This couple was instructed to keep it strictly confidential. Just take this matter to God and to Him alone. One member in that group of friends told just one other person. And that one other person, though the intentions may have been noble, put out a post on Facebook, please pray for, and gave the couple's name. She went on to explain that the husband had had an affair with his assistant, and she wanted everyone to pray for their marriage. The couple who was trying to heal was devastated, especially the wife. She couldn't go to church, to a PTA meeting, to her son's soccer game without people mentioning the post or just looking at her with pity. And even if they didn't say anything, she constantly felt like everyone was thinking about it. And when their own two children heard about the affair from their friends, the wife became so depressed and despondent that she refused to go out in public. And 1 week later, feeling publicly shamed and humiliated, she filed for divorce. Listen to this. The preacher said, from my perspective, adultery didn't kill this marriage. Gossip did. Am I making private matters public? Before you post anything online, before you say anything, share any information, be absolutely certain you're not making something public that should be private. A third set of questions. Ask yourself, am I permitting, maybe even encouraging, others to gossip? It's not only wrong to dish it out, folks. It's wrong to eat it up. Proverbs 17, verse 4, an evildoer or a wicked man listens, gives heed to false lips. A liar eagerly listens to a spiteful tongue. One paraphrase puts it like this: wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. And I want you to note in this passage, it's not just spreading gossip that's condemned, but it's listening to it. And I want you to be aware of this and take it to heart. If someone gossips to you, they're likely to gossip about you. That's the harsh reality. Stay clear of repeating gossip, even hearing or seeing it. What we say or allow others to say matters, because our words have the power of life and death. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Let me conclude by sharing five ways to stop gossip. Number one, change the subject. Change the subject. Distract people from gossiping by bringing up another subject in the conversation. Something that's interesting yet positive to talk about can redirect people's focus away from gossip. Again, as Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Redirect the conversation to those things that will build up and not tear down. If a conversation you're involved in isn't heading in a helpful direction, choose to be the one who changes its course by changing the subject. Number two, say something positive about the person who's the target of gossip. Somebody says, you hear about, say, well, I know this about him or her, and it's really good. Let me tell you about it. And if we look hard enough, we can find something positive to say about others. After all, the Bible says whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable or praiseworthy, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I think we would do no harm to the text to say and talk about such things. Number three, confront gossip politely yet firmly. Stand up to people who are gossiping by saying you don't want to know about the story they're telling. Call it what it is, but do so with grace. For example, you could say, that sounds like gossip to me, so I really don't want to hear anymore. Let's just drop that. Saying something like that isn't too harsh. It's simply holding others accountable for what they're saying, because Jesus says that on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. By your words, he says, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. Number four, point out missing information. Ask questions that point out holes in a gossipy story, such as specific times and places of events. And the idea is not to get all the juicy details, but it's to cause a person to stop and reflect and think, you know, I may not have all the information, and I probably shouldn't even be sharing this. The saying is, there's two sides to every story. And folks, there are a lot of details we don't know about. So it behooves us not to share any of it. Proverbs 18:13 says, he who gives an answer before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Help people see that gossip isn't reliable information. And finally, turn gossip into prayers. Turn gossip into prayers. Pray for the people whom gossipers are targeting. Talk with God about them, not other people. If you want to talk to others about me, talk to God about me, right? Pray about those who are the subject of this gossip, and pray that God will work in their lives, and that this gossip will cease, and that they'll come to know God and follow Him fully, and that all the darkness will be brought out, taken out of the way, and only light will prevail, and that all can see Christ living in each other. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another. It doesn't say confess the trespasses of others. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. View every time you encounter gossip as an opportunity to bless the people involved by praying for them. Turn gossip into prayers. There was a church bulletin that had an order of worship. And the topic of the sermon for that day, similar to today, was gossip. And the song leader had selected the song after the sermon to be, I Love to Tell the Story. Ouch. But let me try to tie those two together. Let's love to tell the story of Jesus. But let's hate to tell anyone else's story. Unless it builds up the body of Christ. How does this point to Jesus? I want you to think about Jesus as he's hanging on the cross. And you tell me, how much does he love each and every one of us? That we are precious to him. So that he would not only refrain from speaking badly about us to others. It's as if he'd keep it on his heart and die for us. That's how much he loves us. We should hold each other's value, our regard for them, their reputation. Something that we want to hold and protect and not allow any negative light to be shown on each other. But folks, in today's world, there are so many who don't have that approach. Let's let the solution begin with you and me. That we're going to think more of each other. So as to not to do anything that might harm or even destroy, but only share those things that will build up and help others to draw closer to God. Jesus died for each of us. We were on his hearts. If it's your desire to respond to that great love that was shown to you on the cross by giving your life to Jesus, hope and pray that you'll do that. That you'll confess your faith in Jesus, having turned from sin and repentance and now be baptized into Christ and so that his blood can wash away your sins. And you're added at that same moment to God's family where you have these precious relationships in which we're called to help one another to confess our sins to one another, to encourage one another, to build one another up, to help one another on the journey called life that culminates in our heavenly home. And we're called upon to pray for one another, and it may be that there are some who desire the prayers of the church this morning. If that be the case, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?